Well done, my good and faithful servant. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Welcome to a New York Catholic Conversation. My name is Deacon John Catalano, and I am joined, as always, by my good friend, my pal from St. Agnes in Rockville Center, New York, Frank Alasia. Frank, how are you doing today?
Everything's great, Deacon. How's everything?
Everything is good. And the subject of our conversation today is growth and transformation. And we're going to base it on a book called The Joy of God, which consists of notes and lectures by a Benedictine nun named Sister Mary David Tota. Now, these excerpts were compiled after her death at the age of 60 and published by the cloistered contemplative community to which she belonged, St. Cecilia's Abbey, which is located on the Isle of Wight, the island off the coast of England. She's an American. She went to Loyola University and then on to the University of Virginia. From there, she went to Christ Church at Oxford in 1981, part of the first class of women students there. And our good friend, Frank, and your cousin, Andrew, was a classmate of hers. And after graduating, she taught at the College of William and Mary in Virginia. But just 4 years later, in 1985, she entered the monastic life back in England, expressing a desire to remain there forever. For 21 years, she was the novice mistress for aspiring nuns and was also the prioress there at the Abbey, the first assistant to the abbess. Now, why would ordinary folks like us be interested in a book about and by a nun who's an intellectual and a scholar, who closed herself off from the world in order to focus entirely on God? So let's start off there, Frank. What about that?
Well, it turns out that the book, The Joy of God, is really steeped in simple wisdom and practical advice on spirituality, useful for anyone. And I just thought I'd like to share some of the very helpful things she had to say about spiritual growth and the impact it has on our lives.
Yeah. Now, there are three sections or three parts of the book: Called to Joy, Journey to Joy, and Surrender to Joy. And I love that first part where she says, quote, "The joy we are talking about is not an emotion determined by our state of mind or situation, but it is choosing to place one's happiness where it properly belongs. It's not something we feel, but something we choose. In calling us to himself, he calls us to joy, for he is our joy. That's why we can sing, rejoice always in the Lord." So she's saying it's a choice to accept a life of spiritual growth.
Yes, and to grow in our spiritual life, we must realize all the potential God has placed in us involves instruction, training, discipline. And as she says in the third part, self-surrendering to joy.
Right.
This takes time and it's not easy. And we can't, you know, get rid of our faults in an instant. We have to keep up our prayer life and remind ourselves that prayer works. When you say like things are not going well, try to pause and change that. Instead, say, no, things are just a part of being alive and living. I think at this stage, we must say to ourselves, this is what I want no matter what the struggle is, and God will help me to overcome it. And it's a question of being able to accept that reality irrespective of how things are going at any given time. And I think it's important to note, as she was writing this book, she knew she was terminally ill. So you have to keep that in mind, you know, as we bring up these points.
Yeah, and her reflections were deep. I mean, she goes on to write, it's not enough to get through life somehow, to avoid doing this or that. We're not called just to be good people or virtuous and well-balanced, doing no harm. We are called to be saints. So we cannot, as intentional disciples, she says, settle for mediocrity, but keep striving for this growth and transformation.
Yes, and we can affect this transformation on our own, but we need to prepare for it as best we can. You know, our job is clear, to clear out the weeds in our lives and give up the desire for autonomy and to be open for what God wants from us and to all he wants to give us. We start to lose or get rid of things as we grow, but Christ takes away nothing from us that is real. What's being taken away are the obstacles like our pride and selfishness we're shedding. You know, all the things that keep us from loving him and loving our neighbor.
Now, you talk about, you know, getting rid of or Christ taking things away. Sister Mary points out to Saint Benedict, who often employed gardening imagery, which applies so well to spiritual growth. She wrote, quote, "God is like a gardener. No matter how gentle the gardener is, the pruning can sometimes be painful. We get comfortable with our habits, the way we say and do things. And although not all of our habits are harmful, even too much of a good thing can become an obstacle to growth in the Lord. And so the gardener comes to prune away the excess of our lives to make room for Christ." It's pretty nice.
Yeah, it's not easy, right? To get bad,
right.
To get rid of bad habits. It can be painful. So she's right. A good thing can be an impediment to growth. Too much satisfaction and comfort is not always good for us. You know, I think we have to realize that you don't get to heaven in a Mercedes or a Range Rover.
Yeah.
Okay. There's a lot of struggle and pain, and our fear, you know, out of fear, we hold back believing we won't be able to endure the pain. But here is the challenge, because at this point is where we must trust God that whatever he does will change or transform us for the better. When we do this, in the end, we will be happier, better, and more free.
Yeah, yeah. Now, at one point, she addresses the issue of spiritual dryness, which I guess we've all come in contact with, where we find that the soul is no longer able to receive comfort or consolation. It seems that grace has abandoned us. She says, if we can accept this dryness peacefully and with understanding, it can raise us to a higher stage of the spiritual life and prayer, a stage which is not based on emotion or incentives, once again. The activity of prayer can continue despite the feeling of dryness. This is important because it means we're not responsible for it. There's no need to blame ourselves for this spiritual dryness. Our carrying on, persevering, even when we lack desire, is a tremendous testimony to our faith and love. And by being faithful, surrendering and accepting what is given, we grow in grace, humility, and peace.
Yeah, it's like in anything else, like basketball, for instance, we don't feel like going to practice today, but we do it, and then we receive the benefits of it. But we think if it doesn't feel good, we get discouraged, and we can stop doing it. You know, and as far as feeling discouraged, remember the word can't often means won't.
Yeah.
And that's what we have to overcome. All we have to do is keep trying. So as long as we are sorry for our sins and have the humility to admit we sin and keep trying to do better, that is enough. She says, this is very interesting. She said, there's always a gap between our good intentions and our ability to carry them out. And that gap is bridged by God's grace.
Yeah, that's good. And, you know, when she was finally diagnosed with inoperable cancer, the nuns say she embraced it as a task in the spirit of Benedictine obedience. She was transfigured into this insight of acceptance with joy. And she wrote, quote, "It's a very difficult passage in a way to make, one that's full of joy at going towards something you've longed for your entire life, but at the same time, pain at leaving so many precious people, precious things." Now, but they say, though, that she remained unflinching, her heart growing wider and wider, overflowing with comfort for others, even in the midst of this grueling pain.
Yeah. And finally, you know, our growth and transformation is very concrete and personal. That's why the crosses we bear are tailor-made for us. Von Hugel, an influential Catholic apologist, said, "How greatly we add to our crosses by being cross with them. We should all try and make these crosses an occasion for a greater act of faith and trust."
It's nice. And they say that on her deathbed, she held up a passage from a poem she loved. And she said she wanted each member of the community to be given this text when she was gone. "Grieve not, nor speak of me with tears, but laugh and talk of me as if I were beside you there. I loved you so, 'twas heaven here with you." Sister Mary David. So
yeah,
Frank, thank you for introducing us to this beautiful woman of faith.
Yeah, there's nothing more they can say after that ending. That was really well done, Deacon. Thank you.
Folks, don't forget to like us and send us an email. That we're getting some nice notes, aren't we, Frank?
Yes.
anycatholicconversation@gmail.com. That's anycatholicconversation@gmail.com. Frank, thanks again. I love you a lot, and I'll see you next time, okay?
Thanks, Deacon. God bless.